Blog Talk Radio.
You would fail. You never knew you'd go through the things you've been through. You never knew that you would fall. But I heard his voice say, I heard his voice say, here's the thing, it is not your fault. Failure, it is not your fault. Sickness, it is not your fault. Poverty, it is not your fault.
Dedicated to all the fathers, because you're not an ordinary father when you believe, become a believer.
You this have no ain't no ordinary one. This ain't no ordinary song. The gossip is greater than
it goes out to Brother Steve Brown. From Mara, Georgia.
So I'll give them all the help.
Dedicate this to you, Brother the deep ground. Tomorrow, Georgia. You're not an ordinary dad. You don't have to have to.
They tell the story about a woman with a tissue. Had it 12 long years, didn't know what to do. She heard about a man coming through her side. She fell to her knees and crawled on the ground. Oh, this is what she said, y'all. She said, if I could only touch the top of the year, I'm gonna give it all I have. Oh, baby. Come on, help me, say, y'all. This ain't no ordinary world. No, it ain't, no, it ain't, no, it ain't.
One of you guys, let me write up and say Happy Father's Day in America. We're celebrating Father's Day, well, pretty much all over the world. This is a national holiday, and also Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth to all the others. We're going to get into our review here in a moment. We're so happy to have Pastor Dale. We're going to ask her if she'll give us a word of prayer. And then we'll get into the review. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And happy Father's Day. Happy Heavenly Father and happy Father's Day. Amen. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from Psalms 1 and verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we want to say thank you for this day, Father God, thanking you for all our earthly fathers and those that are being godly men and godly dads. Father God, we give you praise today for another day. We ask that you would just continue to have your way in our lives. Bless each and every one, Father God, as you order our steps in your word. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive it, that we will share it with others, Father God. Be with all those that are sick and shut in, Father God, those who are bereaved and those who are going through. We continue to pray for Mr. George, Father God. We know everything is in your hands, Father God. And, Lord, we just continue to ask you to open up our hearts to this word, learning and developing the godly way of thinking, Lord. We cannot do it without your guidance. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would have your way in our life. Be with our pastor as he continues to teach the word, as we go over our review together, Father God. Be with him, Father God. We ask that you would continue to bless him, Father God, and be with him in everything that he does as well, Father God. And Lord, we just thanking you for another day. And thanking you for the listeners, those that are listening by internet, and those that participate. We're thanking you all for all things. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Pastor Bill, for that beautiful word of prayer. We've been talking about developing the God kind of thinking. And before I get there, let me go back to where we started Monday, because we actually started with thanking Pastor for not this past week, but the week before, for the great job she did along with Evangelist Renee and serving up some awesome messages for the week before. So we thank God for that. For Pastor jumping in, filling in, did an awesome job. We just thank God for that. And then also, let me thank her for that awesome sandwich she gave on Friday. That was a huge sandwich. It was bigger than I thought. I had to go back and listen to it again. That sandwich was huge. But anyway, well, we thank God because it was the Word of God, man. It was the Word of God. Hallelujah. So we started Monday off with actually talking about developing, and we didn't really get into it. Partly Friday, we got into some of the things that we are developing. We are a developed nation. We're no longer third world nation. We're a developed nation. We did not necessarily depend on just what our hands and our labor can do, but we've developed into a scientific, modern kind of world where we even have robots sweeping our house for us. Believe me, there's robots out here. But not only that, you got the vacuum cleaners that you can hook up and tell them what are the vacuum. We have really developed. We have developed in the phone industry. You know, the phone is not the kind of phone your grandmama used, or if your great-grandmama even had one. But half the time, you couldn't get separated from the wire. You had to be hooked to some wire. We've developed from that to the point and evolved, too. Because, see, development means to evolve. That's when you're evolving. And you should be evolving for the better. But we're to develop in a lot of areas. Let me start talking about Philippians 2 and 5. We need to develop in having the mind of Christ. You don't have the mind of Christ instantly. That requires development.
Yeah.
Hey, we can do it. We can do this. We can develop to have the mind of Christ. You know how I know? Because he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. We can develop in that area. We can develop in being perfect. The word perfect really means mature, but it also means without flaw. And what makes us perfect in the Lord is because we're in Christ. We're complete in him. That's what it really means. It means to be complete in him and not necessarily without flaw. It means to be complete in him. Because most people think perfect means to be without flaw, but perfect means is to develop the kind of completion that God is requiring. And the Bible says you are complete in him. So if you stay in him, you're going to be complete. So I can go on and on and tell you from the first pair of shoes have been developed. Just do your research. The first television.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I remember when you had to have rabbit ears and you had to have clothes hanging. You can adjust the picture. And they used to have a knob, especially for contrast, bringing it in. I mean, it goes on. And when you look at the development, well, why am I telling you all that? Because that's the way it should be with Christians. When we're going to develop and become like Christ to that full stature, that's what he expects us to do. Over there in, I think it's I want to say it's in Ephesians. He expects for us to develop and come into that full stature like Christ. That's our goal.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I don't even hear about, I don't have it yet. Don't even talk negative to me like that. God have already put the seed in you. It's about developing. You're not going to get another seed.
All right.
I may shock some. You're not going to get another seed. He put the seed in the Word of God and put that Word in you and tell you to live in it. And if you do, you're going to develop. And you will become like God. You don't have any choice because that's what's in you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You know, one day you might talk on. You just got to avoid a lot of foolish talking, foolish thinking. If you're going to develop, you got to see the picture, the real picture. That's what you're developing in. You know, you're developing the God kind of thinking. You got to start claiming the promises that have been made to you.
Yeah.
You're being molded into like the master say you are.
Yeah.
I like sometimes to think about, I'm going to tell you a couple of scriptures too. We didn't really get into them, but hey, what's a better time than now? I'm going to ask Pastor if she'd be so kind to find Isaiah 45. And we're going to get into some of these scriptures we talked about this week. But Isaiah 45, 5 through 9. Isaiah 45, 5 through 9. Ask Pastor, she'll read that for us. And now I can shoot over there. She's, you okay with that, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay.
Yeah. Mhm. And that's Isaiah
45:5-9.
All right, Pastor. Gotcha. Reading from the King James. Beginning with the 5th verse. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they made know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Formed the light and created darkness. I made peace and created evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Excuse me. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him, fashion it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Amen.
Amen. Listen, brothers and sisters, God himself, the creator of right, to transform and shape his children's lives. That's God's right.
Hallelujah.
And guess what? He does it as he sees fit. As he sees fit.
Yeah.
And understanding he is conforming us to the image of his son. How I know that? Romans 8 says, for whom he did foreknew, he also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the first fruit among many brethren. Listen, brothers and sisters, God talking about development here. It is his will. He's predestined. Yeah. This is something he already decided he was going to do, that we be conformed into the image of his son. And how that happened? Through the resurrection. That's how you get conformed to that image.
That's why
the Bible tells us not to be conformed to the to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. And over there in Romans 12:2. And also read 1 Peter 1:14. I want you to see this. God expect us. Isaiah said, I'm the Lord. I told you a little bit Friday about the Lord. He said, I'm the Lord. I'm the master. I'm the ruler. I'm the one make these decisions. I want you to be conformed into my image. I dare anybody to challenge Christ. I dare you to. What does the potter have to say? The clay had to say to the potter, make me like this and make me. The clay can't talk. Can't do that. The dirt can't tell man how to shape it.
Say that.
That's what God is saying. But over in 1 Peter 1:14, read that for us, Pastor.
Yes, Pastor. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance. Amen.
Yeah. See, the problem has arisen when we don't like the molding process. No, nobody cares about the molding process. And how you going to argue with the potter? How you going to complain to the potter about the different curves and affection that something result when he has shaped you. He has shaped me. He has shaped us and put us this way. Where the clay says to the potter, what are you doing? Listen, brothers and sisters, our part as clay is to remind that remain liberty, remain humble, remain submissive. I'm going to get to the right place where I want to be here in a moment. That's our responsibility.
Yeah.
We got to submit ourselves to him, submit ourselves to his ways.
Yeah.
Submit yourself to the Lord and his purposes.
Say that.
And this is what is expected as we develop God's way of thinking. It have to be our lives being developed. Don't worry about your neighbor. you get the right perspective.
Yeah.
People still don't have the right perspective about basic stuff. We don't forget just the plain basic stuff. We gotta guard our hearts. I like what Timothy said, or what Paul said over there in 1 Timothy 6:17. I'm gonna ask Pastor she'll read that. In 1 Timothy 6:17. And I'm talking about basic needs, such as food, shelter, clothing. But a few people are satisfied with the bare essential. Many of us have been blessed with far more than just mere necessity. Just about everybody I know have been blessed beyond just the real basic necessity. In 1 Timothy 6:17, you read that for us, Pastor.
Yes, Pastor. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Amen.
Travel, we must guard against fixing our hearts and our minds and our hopes on earthly process, possession, earthly proceedings, and all of this kind of carrying on. What do you say in Colossians 3? This is about set your affections on things above.
Yeah.
Not on things beneath, not on things of the earth. Where is your affection?
Mm-hmm.
See, your affection is going to tell you where your money goes.
All right.
And that means that's going to tell you where your lifestyle is at. Case in point, if you have affection for bowling, some of your money is going to go to a boat.
Amen.
There it is. You can have affection toward a flea market, going to the flea market. I guarantee you some of your money going toward the flea market, because that's where your affection is at.
Right. Amen.
Your affection on watching sports. Your affection is going to cause you to get a better signal, a better TV, or better internet. Because you want to watch the sport. See, that's because of your affection. There's some people, they don't even care about no sports. TV, what I need TV for? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if your affection, and it's the same people that turn right around and buy $1,000 radio because their affection toward music.
All right.
And they want to hear good sounds. They want the exclusive to come through the building. They want to be able to hear clearly and decisively.
Yeah.
That's what they want to hear.
Amen.
So, you know, they ain't playing around. They want to hear every drum beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
What their affection is at.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of times people's affection is, say you make clothes. Well, you getting ready to buy you a nice sewing machine.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Yeah, but that's where your affection is at. Yeah. I mean, be like me. Your affection could be in the kitchen. I mean, when I cook, I love to cook. So, and I love to have the best pots and pans I can have. I love that stuff, man. So that's where my affection is at. So that's where but that's what I'm saying about being a Christian, brothers and sisters, by developing the kind of affection toward Christ. You don't mind going out spending an extra few dollars on the Bible. You don't think nothing about spending $200 on the Bible. There's some folks don't think it's necessary to spend no more than, they spent 40, they crying. That's where the affection is. The affection, when you really affectionate about something, money has no, what you say, like, it doesn't deter you one way or the other. It don't have anything to do with it. It's pointless. Money doesn't have anything to do with for your affection, because if you're affectionate towards something, money doesn't become the object. It doesn't become why you don't have it. It ain't because of money. Because
if
money can get it, because that's where your treasure is at. Remember the Bible says, wherever your treasure is, think about it, that's where your spirit is at. Wherever your heart is at, that's where your treasure is at. So you got to lay up in heaven treasures. Stop trying to lay up earthly treasures. Try to land up treasures in heaven. That's where your affection needs to be at. You got to develop in the affection. Well, how you do that, preacher? Well, I'm glad to ask. The Bible says, if you be risen with Christ, then you keep those things. Well, when I go back, in order to be risen, you got to get crucified. You got to die.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you ain't died, you're not going to have any affection toward Christ. Now, you might like the idea. You might admire the fact of what Jesus did. You are, but your true affection not toward Christ.
All right. Amen.
You know, a lot of people affection toward the ideal. It ain't toward the real deal. It's toward the ideal.
That's what I hate, the ideal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm saved. A lot of people have gotten saved and they've never been developed.
Have mercy, Lord.
They growth stopped right there. They growth got stunted right there. They never got no further.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't put things in the right perspective. They think more of riches. Yeah.
Have mercy.
A lot of people have become genetic. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But I'm saying that to your good, because where's your thought process?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to rest. Hey, I go to church, I pay my tithe, and the preacher better say some good things over me when I die. Hey, so genetic, it's...
Have mercy.
Get away from that. Set your affection on things above, where Christ is. Okay.
Yeah.
We dealt with 1 John 5 and 4. We did a little bit of Colossians. That was something we did Monday too. So in 1 John 5 and 4, because see, in order for this to work, brother and sister, you got to become an overcomer. That is like so important. If you're going to develop the God kind of thinking, you got to overcome this world, because this world can't think like Christ. Woo, say that one more time. This world can't think like Christ.
Say that.
Yeah, you'll never become Christ as long as you're thinking of the sister. You may try, you may say, imitate it, you may get real close, and you may justify it, but you still got to die. You got to care more about Christ things in the world things.
All right.
That's what happens. So in 1 John, 5 and 4, I'm going to read that for me, Pastor.
Yes, Pastor. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen.
So, because everyone who had been born from God, been born above, saying that I've been born of the incorruptible seed, these people overcome the world.
Thank you, Lord.
You won the victory. You won the victory.
Thank
you know why? Because you overcame the world.
Hallelujah.
The victory is overcoming the world. Mm-hmm. You can't be part of the world and talk about you're an overcomer.
All right.
Now let me just
make
a bunch of folks mad. You want to be up in your church and you talking about you're overcome. What did you overcome? You still in slavery.
Have mercy.
You still being directed by that organized spirit.
Yes.
You free. That's a shame. You don't even know you're free. Mm-hmm. See, once you get free, then you can free some other folks. They celebrate Juneteenth today. 2.5 years later, those people, the news got to them. But they already knew the news. They already knew they was free. They was afraid. Well, Master going to do this and Master going to say that. Man, we better not leave because if you do, no, you free. Leave. Bye.
All right, praise God.
But the news got there a little late. So,
mm-hmm.
But they held on to that, and some of them still didn't want to leave. Because
mm-hmm.
of fear. So that's what 1
yeah.
John 5 talking about. You gotta be an overcomer of the world, man.
Amen.
You have to be an overcomer. These worldly churches, I don't care how pretty they are. I don't care how glamorous they are. I don't care how well-spoken they are. They are worldly.
Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy.
Now, because they say they believe in Jesus, don't mean they believe.
Mm.
Because they say they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, you believe it, act it. Don't just say it. Do it. See, the word believing requires you do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It requires us, brothers and sisters, not only to be mature, but to speak as a mature, as a grown person. Because when you was a child, you spoke as a child. And now that you've grown, you've been resurrected, you grow.
Mm-hmm.
See? But if you haven't, then you yet a babe. You yet carnal. You still
Amen.
Yet nursing at the breast. But
mm-hmm.
you can develop if you continue on in my word. And in 1 John 5:5, while we're there, who is he that overcometh the world? We want to know who he is. Yeah, we want to know who he is. But he that believeth.
Amen.
That's who it is. We want to know who that person is. Is he who wins the victory over the world?
Yeah. Amen.
I think it's beautiful. If you acting like Christ is the Son of God, if you did, you'll crucify the flesh. Other than that, you just all talk.
Mm-hmm. All right.
In the world, you'll never see the victory. Your mind can
mm-hmm.
never go there. You can elevate there. You can't. And here's why. See, when you're in bondage, all you're thinking about getting free. When you're free, you're thinking about being progressive. You're thinking about opening businesses. When you're free, you're thinking about how you can pursue other things when you're free. But if you ain't free, the only thing you want to do is get free. You're not even allowed to think anything else. You see? That's what I'm saying. So as long as you stay under the world's control, being dominated by Satan, you're not free, man. You've been dominated by religion. You're not free. You can't even go and make some intelligent decisions. You're not even at liberty because you're in bondage. And every time you think of wanting to do something different, it's all about master. It's all about who your master is, who your Lord is. See?
All right.
Mm-hmm. But once you free of that, you don't care because it's like, I'm free. I ain't got to worry about my master, Lord, this, not you. You don't have that to deal with when you're free. Now, if you're not free, yes, you got issues. Please believe that. But if you're free, let's go. That's not an issue with you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Pastor, I'm gonna put it in your hand for a moment. Can you take care of things just for a few minutes? Or anything you like to say on any of the review? Okay, thank you.
Amen, amen. I just want to read those scriptures out of the Message Bible, and that was 1 John 5 and verse 14. Well, I'm gonna read from the Message Bible 13 through 15. It said, "My purpose in writing is simply this, that you who believe God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion, and how bold and free we then become in his presence, freely asking according to his will. Sure, he's listening, and if we're confident that he's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours." Amen. So we are overcomers, because that's what it tells us over there in 1 John 4:4. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen, amen. So we just thank God for that godly way of thinking. And in thinking the godly way, we are able to be his children, his child. And then we don't allow the world to govern us, or we don't allow the world to tell us what we can and what we can't do, because we're children of God. I was reading as Pastor was talking, verse 11 says, "And in this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Amen.
Yes.
So
yes,
you got to have the mind of Christ. Amen.
Amen. This life
Amen.
Is in his Son. Say that, Pastor.
Amen. Praise God. So that
read that
out
the message of the Bible, please. Read that out the message
of the Bible, please. All right. So the 11th verse from the Message Bible, that's 1 John 5 and verse 11 says, "This is the testimony in essence. God gave us eternal life. The life is in his Son. So whosoever has the Son has life. Whosoever rejects the Son rejects life." Amen.
Amen. This
so
life is in Christ, brothers and sisters. You got to be
Amen.
Resurrected. You got to die. It's more than just saying this stuff. This is a lifestyle. This is something you have to live.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, you got to live this thing. Not only do you decree it, but you live it.
Amen. Stand on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise.
So this is how you live, brothers and sisters. You know, a lot of times people expect they're happy with the one-time thing. This is no one-time thing here, man. This is something you do every day. This is something you do every day. Come rain, shine, you know, you become like God. And you don't change because other things change. The Lord showed me something. It's just a little bit off what we're talking about, but I'm going to share it with you. I said, "Lord, you know, what should I thank you for?" And the Lord told me, look around. And I looked around for the sun. And I thank him for not charging us extra.
Thank you, Lord.
I felt the wind on my face.
All right.
I said, Lord, thank you for the wind. You're not like man. If it had been man would have said, oh, he need that wind. Let me charge him a little bit more.
Uh-huh. That's right.
There's a crisis going on. And because they need the gas, let's up the price. That's how man thinks.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Can you imagine you need a water, and then God going to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to charge you extra. I'm going to charge you for that water. But he let it rain. He don't care about you being right or wrong. He let it rain on the just as well as the unjust.
Amen. Yes.
I know you did bad, but he said, you know what? Be thankful. I'm still going to let it rain on you. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
What a God.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen.
God got me repenting of things. I didn't think I had to repent of. God said, yeah, you got to repent of some of that stuff. You ain't thinking like I think.
All right.
So we got to think like God thinks, brothers and sisters, in every situation.
Yes, every situation. That's right. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And we dealt with Philippians 3. 1-4. We went a little farther than that. We might pick it up, and we may not. I just want to be led by the Spirit. But I do want to go there and read that, if you will, Philippians 3. I'm going to say we started at the 4th verse, but we're going to go back to the 1st verse because one day we did do 1-4. So let's do that. It says, finally, my brother, rejoice. Be happy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you're in the Lord. You're in Christ. Rejoice. To write the same thing to you to be indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Be happy about this. Rejoice in this stuff. He said, I'm rejoicing because I'm able to write the same thing. I'm not going to change anything. I'm rejoicing. He said, but I'll tell you this, my friend. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of cotton. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. And we rejoice in Christ. Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. I don't believe a word of it. Oh, flesh talk. I ain't trying to believe a word of it. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more.
Praise God. From the Message Bible. And that's about it, friends. Be glad in God. I don't mind repeating what I have written in earlier letters, and I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry. So here goes. Steer clear of the backbiting. I'm sorry, let me start that over. Steer clear of the barking dog. Those religious busybodies, all bark and no bite. All they're interested in appearances. Nice, happy circumcisers, I call them. The real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it, even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. Amen. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You got to know, brothers and sisters, you got to beware of religious folks. When he said dog, he's not talking about that pit bull you got or that big German shepherd.
All right.
Don't you see it, Michael? What was his name? What was his name?
Champ.
There you go. We ain't talking about Champ. We ain't talking about Bruto.
Mm-hmm.
My dog named Brutus. You ain't talking about Brutus.
All right.
Well, he said beware of dogs. He's not talking about four-footed dogs. Don't worry about that.
All right. Mm-hmm.
He's telling you to beware of evil workers.
Yeah.
So you go and you decide who's evil workers. Who they are.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
See, these evil workers, brothers and sisters, those who insist on you being religious. So you gotta go to church. You gotta go to the building. Ain't no different. They were trying to insist on them being of the circumcision. That was one of their practice.
Mm-hmm.
We're the real circumcision. You know why? Because we're circumcised in the spirit and not in the flesh.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we're about the spirit, not about the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. But if anyone have anything to say, let me go over here. Let you see it. At this point in time, anyone have anything they want to share in the scripture?
Amen. I just want to read that from God's word, Pastor. Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now then, brothers and sisters, be joyful in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you, and it's for your safety. Be aware of dogs. Be aware of those who do evil things. Be aware of those who insist on circumcision. We are the true circumcised people of God because we serve God's Spirit and take pride in Christ Jesus. We don't place any confidence in the physical things, although I could have confidence in my physical qualifications. If anyone else thinks that he can trust in something physical, I can claim even more." Amen, amen. Praise God. So right there, he's telling us not to put confidence in evildoers. And that's most times evildoers are people. We have to be aware of that. And the Spirit of God, He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll show you. He'll make you be aware. Amen.
And that has to become a reality. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you all for joining us. We're so happy to have each and every one of y'all. We'll see you tomorrow for the word at